Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. This is this week's sermon, and of course, this is going to be separate from the one I preached this morning. But it's kind of going on with the same lines on what is truth. What is truth? And this is, of course, part of our third part of this sermon series, this discipleship series. This may be the last one of this one, then I might do another one. We'll see what. But the point was, I wanted to break down in John 14:6, when Jesus says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I kind of want to break those three points down. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jesus is the way, right? And then last week, we looked at Jesus is the life. And today, which are, you know, it may be listening to this at night or sometime during the week, we're looking at Jesus Christ is the life. So this is the Bible Disciple Series, Part 3. Simply put, the title is simple as I am the truth, and that I is meaning Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And it's very important for you guys, if you're just listening to this, to scroll down and listen to the first, second part, right? And then hit the third part here. You might think I might be missing certain things when I'm preaching, but when we're doing a series, the series is done in a sense that it's just too much to do in 1 hour. And we do 1 hour normally because that's most attention spans will kind of disappear at that point. You know, hours a long time to be hit with information. And that's just, you know, from what you read, you know, and that's why you find like a lot of movies are normally around an hour and an hour and 30 minutes is because the attention span. But just because you had the visual too, so it can go a little bit longer, so people are using their visual and their hearing, and you guys are just hearing. So we normally try, that's normally why sermons are anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. And when we can't talk about all of it in one hit, like this would have been about a 3-4 hour sermon, it's just best to break them down and give little bites, because our minds, I know mine can get overloaded sometimes, So you're getting here with a lot of information, maybe stuff you may not have heard, and maybe you want to take time to go back. I always encourage, go back, look at the scriptures, weigh the scriptures, making sure what I'm saying matches up with the scriptures, and always make myself available through emails. So you can email me through this, and I will respond to you. And if you're on my Facebook, you can always send me a message. I can respond there. If I missay something, I'll apologize about it. I have misspoke. I am human, so the goal is not to, but the thing is to do the studying. I never feel like I do a lot of studying, but it never feels like I do enough. And of course, I spend on the Holy Spirit is the ultimate key there. Even when I don't feel like I've done a study, I do as much as I can in a day or a week for a sermon prep. It's all, here it is, God, here's the Holy Spirit, and that's why sometimes verses will come to me, and it'll come to anybody who's leaning on the Holy Spirit when they're doing a sermon. I'll be preaching, and verses will just start coming to me because of the Holy Spirit. I've read something and I forgot about, and the Holy Spirit brings it to me. So, but this is part three. What we'll do, we'll read John 14:6, we'll pray, and then we'll go into this sermon. This could be the last one out of this series. It depends how God speaks to me to write another one to go along with this. But it's very important about discipleship, guys. And I've preached series on discipleship, and you can find them all through the archives. And I really believe that's a point that's missing in most churches. It's about being a disciple for Jesus. It's not saying one little prayer and being done with it. No, it's a lifetime commitment to Jesus. You know, I think of a puppy, you know. People get puppies, and of course, I'm not comparing Jesus to a puppy. Just came to mind. It's like, you get a puppy, and we got a puppy two or three years ago. And I love her to death. But you get a puppy, you know, and for 1 year for Christmas, it ain't like you're going to throw the puppy away after Christmas. It's not like a sweater or socks. You know, a puppy is anywhere from a 10 to 15 year commitment. So you got that puppy for 15 years. That's a good commitment. Well, when you say I do to Jesus, you need to realize that is a commitment for life. Even when things get bad, is a commitment for life. Keep pressing on. And that's why I always harp on counting the cost, counting the cost. And I say if you lost everything today, you lost your house, you lost your family, you're laying in the gutter, you don't have nothing, can you still say, I love you, Jesus. Thank you. I doubt that will happen, but I'll try to rattle people because it seems like the mindset of American professing Christians is just not, they're not getting it. They're living in a fairy tale land. And one day that fairy tale land in America can crumble. And it, if you look at the trend of America, we're headed that way fastly and quickly. And how bad can it get? We may have not even seen this stuff right here may not even be nothing what's coming to us because of our turning from God and our lukewarm Christianity that has injected into all a majority of our churches. I'm talking about you, if you even go to church on Sunday, and I encourage that because we are supposed to symbol, we're supposed to be the body of Christ. So that is part of going to church on Sunday, a building, or whatever you're going, because that is a fellowship. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly. He's speaking of a gathering together. Maybe you do church at home. Maybe that's where God has you, but you need to make sure whoever's running that group in your home is qualified according to the standards of the Bible and teaching truth. And it's not just at home. If you're doing it at home, you're supposed to reach out to other people too in other churches, because you're collecting together, you're gathering together, you are a unit. You don't say I'm separate and we're not going to talk to anybody. We have to talk to others that are like-minded as we are with the truth of the gospel. They're standing on the truth of the gospel. So John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, and of course he's speaking of Thomas here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, to get into your word. Lord, I pray as we go into your word, to this sermon, to this teaching, that whoever hears this, that it just goes into their hearts. It rattles their life if it needs to. Maybe they need to hear this message. Maybe they never heard a message like this. Maybe they do not understand what the truth means. Let this speak to them. But they have to hear. Their hearts have to be open to what the Holy Spirit speaks into their lives. If they choose to harden their hearts and not hear it, because we're about to go on some hard truths here. They reject you, God. You will reject them one day. There's no second chances after death. You die. It's in the presence of God, or a place of everlasting torment for the rest of their lives. A pain that they cannot even grasp. Hollywood can't even portray the torment that will occur in this place we call hell, that just represents this place of torment. Day and night, there will be no end. Is a real place, and it's going to be devastating. As we look at you are the only way, you tell us many will go down that path, that way, and we pray, Lord, we don't know how many, that's you do, God. All we pray is place somebody in our path to tell them about Jesus and give them the truth of the gospel. And we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. There's this thing, and maybe you've heard of it, term, absolute truth. And today's world, especially America, they will say there is no absolute truths. A more fancy word is moral relativism. I was able to say relativism here. I was having trouble saying that word today in church. Moral relativism. And simply that's put as this, is you have your truth, I have my truth. What's true for you is not true for me. So let's just live in perfect harmony, right? No, that is not correct. You know, in John 4, wait a minute, not John 4, let's see. I know it's John. John 18, 37 through 40. And this is right when Jesus is with Pilate, Pompous Pilate. And Pilate therefore said unto him, he's speaking to Jesus here. He said, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To the end was I born, and for the cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said to them, I find him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will I release unto the king of the Jews, Jesus? And they cry all again, say, not this man, not Jesus, but Barabbas. Barabbas was a robber. See, Jesus is telling Pilate, he is the truth. And he's telling those that know him and know truth, true truth, will hear him. Pilate was not hearing nothing. He responds, what is truth? Because why? Because Pilate had his own truth. And it was not Jesus Christ, because if it was, he would have fell at his knees before Jesus and repented of his wicked way with tears in his eyes, crying, saying, forgive me, God, for I have sinned against thee. Forgive me. Rome don't have no hold on me no more. You do. But that ain't what he did. He said, what is truth? And he walks away. See, that's what our world does today. They say, what is truth? In reality, they have their own truth, and that's moral relativism. I want to tell you, I was looking at a Barn Group research, and it says in that group that 70% of people, and especially here in America, they do not believe in no absolute truths. 70% do not believe in any absolute truth. Just think about that. They believe this moral relativism. You have your truth and I have my truth. And I want to tell you, if you are one of those Christians that cling to the Word of God as being the absolute truth, and we know Jesus Christ is the truth, and everything hangs on that truth, and that is the words that we read through the Scripture, and they are absolute true to every one of us. If you believe that, I want to tell you, this world will not like you. This world will hate you. And Jesus said, you know, basically, if they hated me, guess what? If you're going to be my disciple, they're going to hate you. If you're going to stand and cling to his word, they are going to hate you. Expect the world to hate you when you're standing on truth. You know, when we look at the disciples, just a few of them, that stood on the Word of God, and they have counted the cost, and we can look at church tradition, and a lot of will question the church traditions, but I, you know, when we're looking at if they are correct, which I believe they are, what we found that Matthew died at the edge of a sword. Mark, he died in Alexandria being dragged through the streets of the city. Luke experienced the same when he was hung on a tree, a large olive tree in Greece. It was John's realization when he was scarred in casserole of boiling oil and he lived his last days banished on an island. It was Peter who was crucified upside down in Rome. James, he was beheaded in Jerusalem. James the Less, when he was thrown from a high pinnacle and beaten to death with a club. Philip, when he was hung. Bartholomew, when he was scourged and beaten until he died. Andrew, when he was bound to a cross and he preached at the top of his voice to his people that were killing him until he died. Thomas, who was ran through with a lance. Jude was killed by executing arrow. Matthew was stoned and then beheaded. Paul was beheaded in Rome. And that's just to name a few guys. There's a cost to following Jesus. And I will tell you that the way America portrays Christianity, they will tell you there is no cost. It may not be extreme as being martyred in America, but I can tell you our brothers and sisters in other countries are being, and they have been for a while now. But us Americans, we think we're privileged. And God can remove that in a heartbeat. And we could face persecution like our brothers in those third world countries. Don't think America can't face that. And when it gets real, if it does, I believe it will one day, who will stand? Who will stand for truth? True truth. Jesus Christ is the absolute truth. When we, and if you're not under a rock, you probably have heard about the Will Smith and the Chris Rock Oscar event. And I'm one of those preachers. I don't shy away from topics. There's Hollywood for you. And Denzel Washington. You know, when we look at Will Smith and Denzel Washington, who are these guys? These are actors who star in violent movies, drugs and sex scenes galore. And when we look at Will Smith slapping Chris Rock in the Oscars, and then Denzel over there saying, you know, all his stuff, I won't tell you. Just hear me out here. Say if I starred in a movie. I never would. Not in one of those movies. But in one sense, I had a full nude scene with a woman who is not my wife. And I'm depicting several sexual positions over and over again. Is that okay? Does the Word of God approve of that? And then later in the film, I walk out and there's a bunch of guys out there waiting for me. And I got my guns and we start blasting. It's all acting right, but there's violence, there's blood pouring everywhere. I'm enjoying the scene I'm enjoying the killing because I'm an actor, so I'm supposed to portray that. Is God okay with that? And then they star in these movies and they promote these movies. They go on talk shows promoting these movies. And you don't see no conviction or scourging in these guys. They look like it's all normal. And guess what? The Christians of America, the professing Christians, the ones that truly do not know God, are glorifying them. Saying these are men of God. They take Denzel Washington. They say he is a man of God. I'm not saying look at what I'm saying. I'm saying does their life match with what the Word of God says? It's not being judgmental. If they call themselves a follower of Christ, are they following Christ? Would Jesus be okay with that? If I was doing a scene like that and I come up here and start preaching to you, would you call me a man of God? You'd be like, no, I won't call you that. But I'll call Denzel and Will Smith, man of God. Oh, we praise him. Will Smith leaves an open marriage. One of his kids can't even figure out if he's a male or female. Tell me how that is. Right, he's openly supporting homosexual agendas. The Bible is very clear on homosexuality. It is a sin. There is no such thing as a homosexual Christian. God does not support a lifestyle of sin. Period. There's nowhere in the Gospels or we can look in our Bible where he encouraged somebody to sin. Never. But if I was starring that movie, could you say like in Galatians 5:24, when Paul tells the Galatians and tells us, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their afflictions and lusts, am I crucifying my flesh while I'm starring in a movie? And 25, Galatians 5:25 says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let's just think about that. Am I walking in the Spirit? When I'm doing all of that, we really need to ask ourselves that. And of course, we need to keep them in our prayers. They need our prayers. They probably really think if they die, they're going to heaven. But according to the Word of God, they will not. They will burn in hell. When I was out there living in sin, and if you guys follow me and you heard some of my story, and one time I gave my whole testimony on this website talking about, I was raised in a Christian family as a kid. I was drugged to church, and thank God for that foundation. If I didn't want, my mom drug me kicking and screaming. And I'm telling you, when we went to church, it wasn't just, you know, three songs and like we got today, you got three songs and then, you know, two songs and offering maybe, or three songs offering and then the deacon gets up there. No, we were at church for like 4 hours. I can remember being there so long. Sometimes it'd be like we'd be in the morning, come out, be at nighttime. These guys preached. But if we go over 30, 40 minutes, people are like, I don't want to hear that. But I was raised. And one thing about that, my story was this, just, you know, I was raised in church, but a lot of the guys that were leaders, they could not answer my questions. Well, I had about the Bible. I'm all about questions. I love people asking me questions. The harder, the better. Not say I'm going to have all the answers, because there's some stuff we do not know, and we will probably not know until we see God in the Scriptures. It's just, that's what it is. That should blow us mind, or blow our mind away, who God is. But man, we will tear away at those tough questions and do our best trying to wrap our little minds around it. But you know, nobody would try that. So I went off into the world. And when I was in the world, I never professed to be a Christian. I was out there doing whatever, any drugs I could get my hands on, sex as I could get away with, shutting down the bars, violence, fighting. I never said, hey, you know, I'm a Christian. No, I knew better. I told many people, if I die tonight, I will go to hell. And why wouldn't it be a good night to die and burn in hell? That's how hardcore I was in the sense of that statement. I would never have smeared God's name in the mud as these people do today. Like Will Smith and Denzel Washington does. And I'm just pointing to them as an example. There's many in our churches that support those guys are doing the same, in the sense they do not live a life according to the Scriptures. When they step out of that church or wherever they're going to church at, maybe they have a home church. When they walk out into that world, they do whatever they want in their own eyes, and they still profess to know Christ. That doesn't work that way. You can profess to the day you're in. The truth is, you and you die in your sins, you will go to hell. You're not walking in the Spirit. We are supposed to look at one another's fruit. Matthew 7:16-23 says this. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or ferns or thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bring not forth good fruit is him that is cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their lust you shall know them, by their fruits you shall know them. We are supposed to know their fruits. There's nothing wrong with somebody when they profess to know Christ. Okay, well, they're professing to know Christ, so what are their fruits? Well, they believe in having sex away from marriage. Well, what does Jesus say? Well, he don't approve. An open marriage, that means getting married and then having other partners. He don't approve of that. He doesn't approve of a man and a man together. He doesn't approve us watching that garbage on TV. A woman and a woman together. He does not approve of that garbage. And he does not want us to watch that anywhere. Are you? God knows your heart. He knows where you're at. 21 says, not everyone that sees unto me, or that says unto me, Jesus is saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, everybody that profess to know me, this is Jesus. They will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, that is the day, Lord, Lord, that's the day when we meet Jesus. We have not. And he's speaking of people that are Christians, are professing to know Christ here, but they truly don't. But prophesied in thy name have cast out demons, in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you work of iniquity. Does that sound like God's approving of our sin? And then he goes on 24 and 25. He says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, all that he just said, this and the others, not just Matthew 7:1. People love to quote Matthew 7:1. Judge not, lest ye be judge not, that ye be not judged. But they don't want to read anything else in this chapter because it don't fit with their perversion of the gospel. Because they want to sin and keep sinning and live their life any way they want. And God says, no, you are not supposed to do that. And that all that collected together, says they that hear these sayings and do them, I will liken them to a wise man which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descends, the flood came, the wind blew, the beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded up on a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine, do them not, shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the flood came, the wind blew, you beat up on the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. I'm going to tell you the only truth, the foundation, that is that man who builds his house upon that rock, that is Jesus Christ. And when it's firmly in place, when the things in life, when the storms of life come and they rattle you, you will not, your house will not fall, because you're firmly on that rock, and here's the rock is Jesus Christ. He is the only name that can save you. He's the only truth that can set you free. That's why I said, he says he is the truth. Jesus Christ is the only truth. He is the absolute truth. No one comes to God except through that bridge, and that bridge is Jesus Christ, and that bridge has truth on it, is firmly built. There's no other bridge to reach God except through Jesus Christ. There is no other name that can save you than Jesus Christ. And when we look at that truth, the truth is you cannot live a sin, a lifestyle of sin, and say you're going to heaven. You can say it all you want, I guess. Doesn't make it true. Well, you say, well, I got my truth and you got your truth, so let's just deal with it. I'm going to tell you, there is only can be one truth. If I told you there's a cliff that is really high up, and if you jump off that cliff, this thing called gravity, you can't really see it, but you can see the results of it exists. And when you jump off that cliff, you will fall to your death. And you say, I don't believe in this thing called gravity. And I'm going to jump off this cliff because I believe I can fly. And I say, no, you cannot fly. And you say, well, that's my truth. I can. And your truth, you can't. So watch me fly. Fly, birdie, fly. When you jump off that cliff, I guarantee gravity will kick in. You will fall. You will plunge. And you will probably die. And you will see truth, because you will be looking at Jesus. And pray that your soul is saved if you've done that. But if you have that mindset, odds are you have not accepted the one who placed gravity in place. And his name is Jesus Christ, because he is the fundamental truth. He is the one that created heaven and earth, the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:2 tells us this, and that is historically accurate. I don't care what the textbooks tells us in our schools that promotes evolution, which is a lie, and it cannot be proven. The Word of God, creationism, has more evidence of support than evolution. That is the elementary schools. That is the high schools. That is majority of our colleges, our seminaries. Don't trust those that come out of seminary schools. A lot of them are corrupted. And I ain't against about education. I study and I take classes. I believe in studying. I love to study. But when somebody comes out of seminary school, some call it cemetery because they come out dead, man bones, no life. You shouldn't worry if they have a master's or a doctorate. You should be worried about those that glorify their educational requirements. They got doctor by their name because they want to make themselves look good. They got apostle by their name. Or they got prophet by their name. They got evangelist by their name. They got pastor by their name. They're trying to glorify their name. And I'll tell you, the only name that you need to know is the name of Jesus Christ. And yes, I'm working on my doctorate. Will ever say, you know, glorify my name? No. Our name don't matter. Jesus Christ's name matters. My goal is never to put any credentials by my name. If I go and preach at a church or on the billboard, Jonathan Ritter is fine. They may want to put a title there, but I choose not to. The only thing that's the most important is, do they see Jesus Christ in me? Do they see the truth? And the truth is, Jesus Christ does not prove of our sin in our life. Galatians 5:16-21 says this, "Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another." What? You got that struggle, right? So that you cannot do the things that you would. Starring in a rated R movie, doing sex scenes. This is right here. But you want, you know, the money, Hollywood. These guys do not live in reality. "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest," and this gives us a list of sin: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, such like as which I tell you before. And Paul saying, I've told you once, I've told you twice, I'm telling you again. I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he gives the what we're supposed to be doing. But the fruit right here, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, the afflictions, and the lusts. If you live in the Spirit, also walk in the Spirit. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Get as mad as you want. Ignore the truth of the gospel. It will not change your outcome. How much you get angry. You want to spit and get mad at this preacher that's just preaching the word of God. Because you love your perversion of the gospel. You love supporting people like Will Smith and Denzel Washington. You love supporting people like Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, and the list goes on. Joel Schmeier, Beth Moore. That are perversions of the gospel. And And millions and millions of billions of people follow these guys and are following them straight to the pit of hell. Because if they, as Pilate, we present the truth to them, this aid of the media and through YouTube, and there's others out there more popular than me that are preaching against this. They know they can hear it because everybody's linked to the YouTube and linked to the internet, and they hear these. I've countered people that support Joel Osteen, and they're so brainwashed, they're given to a mind of perversion, and the only thing that can save them is that God knocks them completely to the ground and remove everything from them. And at that point, they may still not even get it. And a message like this is not popular in America. I promise you. The messages like Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, and the others are popular. These guys are millionaires. Living the good life. And of course, we need to keep them in our prayers. They always need to be in our prayers. Because as long as they have breath in their body, there is a chance for them repenting of what they're doing. But we have to call them out. I take no pleasure in doing that. And to call them out, we need to examine our lives. Where are we at in our walk with Christ? How is our prayer life? How is reading our Bible? How is our fellowship? Physically, fellowship, guys. Come on. People with COVID, you can't use that excuse anymore. Physical fellowship. Going to church on Sunday. Or whatever events they may have throughout the week. Getting together physically with our brothers and sisters. And having that iron sharpened iron. Now we can still do the internet things. I'm all about internet and about meeting any way we can. But we also do not need to forsake or get away with the of getting together in a place together and seeing one another eye to eye, face to face, having that beautiful fellowship with one another. But our lives, man, they have to mirror Christ. Is your life mirroring Christ? Do you have, when you look at truth, do you lean more on that absolute truth that's in the gospel, or do you lean to the world's truth that is Satan's perversion of God's truth? That is basically what moral relativism is. You have your truth, you have my truth. Just a few weeks ago, we have the Supreme Court nominee. They asked her if she could define what a woman is. And she said she could not. And she was not a biologist. It's sad, but that is the direction of our country. Let's get that. What they're teaching our kids in elementary schools, wake up. Satan wants our kids, and we're giving them to them. To the elementary, the suckler school system is broken, and I don't believe it's beyond repair. I believe that we should, if we could ever go back to a community owned schools and get the government completely out of the schools, then there would be a chance to repair it. But their hands are so deep in that. I always encourage people to find you a good Christian school. If you can, homeschool your kids. And get them in a Bible believing, on fire for God church, and socialize them that way. And I'm not trying to be mean to thing. I'm just looking, and I know there's probably teachers out there that are trying to do their best. And I'm not dogging you guys on that. I'm just saying. And if you're in the education system, and you probably know what's going on, if you're a school teacher or whatever, and my heart really does go out to you, but you're fighting a losing battle in the sense that the only way the schools can be restored is through government being completely removed from the education system, and I do not see that happening until Jesus Christ comes back and he sets everything right. But they documented our kids on, it appears, I think now it's like 50 something titles for sexual gender identity that a kid can identify with, or we can identify with. I'm telling you, that's a perversion of God's truth, right? Jesus was very clear in Genesis 5:2. He tells us male and female created he then. That's God. And he blessed them. He called their name. In contents, he's referring to Adam and Eve as one. In the day where they were created, he created man and woman. And Mark 10:6 just points back to the Old Testament. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And you might not want to view the Bible, but you can't deny simple biology. XY chromosome, right? XX chromosome. They will never change chromosomes. If you're XY chromosome, male. You're XX, female. Well, they say, oh, follow the science. They don't want to follow the science in that part because it doesn't fit their perversion. Oh, we would just, you have your truth, I have my truth. I feel like a girl today, so I am a girl. You got guys that are associating with females and being in women's sports. That is a perversion of God's word. And it's happening. This, you can look it up. Our country is pushing perversion. And they're trying to get our children as young as they can. Be cautious. If your kid goes to a public school, be involved. Know the ins and outs of what they're being taught. You have a right to know everything that they're teaching your kids. Get involved. If you can't homeschool, you can't send them to a Christian university or school. And you got to be careful with them too, though. But you get involved in their education. You make sure you talk to that teacher. Ask that teacher about Jesus. Ask that teacher how she feels about evolution, or he feels about evolution. Get involved. When your kid brings home homework, do not just say, hey, go do your homework. Get involved. Ask them about their day. Get involved. Get them to talk about how their day was and how was their lunch and how was their, you know, how you start at a young age, elementary or preschool. You start asking, you engage. And you at home also educate your kids. Educate them. Let them know evolution is a lie. That science is not a bad thing because science proves God. And evolution is a lie. There's a science that's anti-God. It's a science of satanic and that tries to tell you there is no God. And there's more evidence proving there is a God than not. There's more evidence proving creationism and evolution. Get involved with your children. One day I would love to get my master's in creationism. I just love reading and studying all the evidence that supports our divine creator and the divine truth. Let your kid know that there is only two sexes, male and female. Why? Because God made them male and female. He did not make them different in the sense that you feel like a male today, that's your truth. But tomorrow you feel like a female, so that's your truth today. So what? And that person out there saying, no, that is not true. And it's like, okay, well, your truth is not my truth. There is only one truth. There is God's truth or Satan's perversion of the truth. And I'm telling you, and when you look at today's world, you see his perversion of the truth. One of the examples that we can look at this, how he attacks truth, is Genesis 3. Let's look at a few verses. Maybe we'll look at all of them. I don't know. When we look at verse 1, it says here, and now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which God, the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And of course, Satan is questioning Eve here. And now, regardless of how you want to look at the serpent, if he was just, you know, it is just saying the serpent is representing Satan, which you can say that, or they can say Satan entered this animal, he used this animal for his deception. You can say that too. But whatever, Satan's hand is in play here. And he rolls over there to the woman, which later becomes Eve. And he says to her, he questions God's word that she heard either from God or Adam. And he said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And here's what this woman, Eve, her first mistake. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of these trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Satan is coming to knocking. You do not have to answer him with your own understanding. A conversation with Satan should be only one-way conversation. He comes with lies. His version of the truth to fill your mind with lies, to call you all kind of harm. John 8:44 tells us, this is Jesus speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, ye are of your father, the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abound not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. See, Satan will lie to you. He will come at you with a perversion of the truth to try and make you start thinking. And that's what happens here. And of course, here Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees who had their version of the truth. When Jesus Christ was looking straight at them and they were challenging him in everything, they were so blinded to what the truth was. They had their truth. It was not the truth of the Word of God. As many today in our churches, they do not have the real truth. And when they hear the real truth, they want to get you out. They prefer to have people like Joel Osteen and see Furtick. They prefer to have people like Will Smith and Denzel Washington to be out there. They prefer to hear their truth, and their truth is not the truth of God. It's the truth of this world. If Jesus Christ will walk in physically into these churches, he would say, "You are the father of the devil. The lust of the father ye will do. You do not want truth, the real truth." Why? Because Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He bailed not in truth. There's no truth in him. Why? He is a liar. He speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of lies. One-way conversation. People like me that preach their hearts out. And I will not stop preaching the truth. I know I will not ever be as popular as these guys. I will not make $1 million like these guys. But my eyes are not firmly planted on this earth. My eyes are firmly planted on Jesus Christ. And when he comes back, I will be a millionaire beyond what they could ever imagine. Because I have hit the jackpot of heaven. It does not compare to what they have. Their riches is mere pennies compared to what God has prepared for his children. Oh, we want that too. No, you ain't getting that, because you got to leave separate from this world. Oh, you want to, you think about heaven in your own mindset, but you want to live in your sin and love the people that glorify your sin. You are the child of your father Satan, and you will get a Satan hell. But it does not matter how popular I ever become or how much money. I love Charles Spurgeon. I don't agree everything he says, but I'm paraphrasing. He said, if I preach a thousands and thousands sermons and just one person truly comes to Christ, it was worth it all. And that's true. I can preach this, and I don't know who's going to listen to it. I think on this website, there's probably getting close to 200 sermons on here, maybe. I don't know. I don't keep track. But if one person listens to it and they are touched, not because of Jonathan Ritter, just the obedience, what God has, and God has already know who's going to listen to this and who's going to benefit from that and who truly will say, "I ain't listening to him anymore. That guy's fanatical. He's lost his marbles." I'm telling you, I have lost my marbles. I lost them all for Jesus Christ, and I don't want them back. I won't be crazy on fire for God. I don't care how this world views me. I don't even care how you view me. I want you to care, to wake up and realize the perversion of the gospel, the false of the truth that these people betray will send you to hell. And I say, wake up, because why? Satan is a father of lies, and he's filling Eve's head with lies, and she's into entertaining this. Verse 4 said, "And the servant said to the woman, shall not surely die. For God do know that in that day ye thereof, then ye shall eat, that shall be as gods." He's saying you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took up on that fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did. Adam was right there with her. And Satan is making them look like God is holding something back for you. I want to tell you, everything in this life has a purpose. Regardless of the pain and the suffering that you may experience in this life, there is a reason for all of it. You may not have all the answers. You may not have the answers until we are in the presence of God. But I promise you, there is a purpose to that pain and suffering. And we, you know, we may not have all the answers. We may not get the answers while we're here. Does I tell you to reject truth? Absolute truth. Truth in Jesus Christ. He tells us to come to him and be part of him and be separate from this world. But you choose not to. God will honor that choice until God will not send you to hell, but he will honor your choice to go there. Because if you reject the true message of the gospel, you have made your choice. And when you die, that's all it is. You're his or not. But Satan is filling even Adam with lies here. Entering conversation with Satan is not good, guys. There is consequences entertaining them voices in our heads that go against Scripture. You hear people say, oh, I feel God is thinking I should be with this guy and live with him without being married and having sex with him. And I believe God is guiding me this way. What does the Word of God say? I could tell you, the Word of God will not tell you to do that. Therefore, you're entertaining the voices of the enemy. Be students of God's Word. And when the voices come in our heads, we know how to counter them with Scripture. See, there's consequences, though, to our actions. Verse 7 said, and the eyes of them were both open, and they knew they were naked, that is physical and spiritually. And they sewed these fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons, and this is their first clothing right. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amidst the trees of the garden. See, Jesus, God, comes calling. He already knew what went down. Now it's time for confession. Right? God says in verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Verse 10 says, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked, I hid myself. Sin does that conviction. So that's when sin comes into the world. That's when sin comes into their heart. God is calling for true confession here. Does he get it? Well, let's see. And the Lord said in verse 11, he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Has thou eaten of the tree whereof I have commanded thee, thou shalt not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou givest me, be with me. She gave of the tree, and I did eat. God is calling for true confession. What can Adam do? Blame the woman. And 14, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is thee that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, I did eat. Blame, blame, blame. And we see that today. We want to blame God for everything, and we don't want to look at ourselves. Why is this happening to us? We need to reflect on ourselves. And if you're professing you know Christ, how is your prayer life? How is your Bible reading? How is your assembling together of other believers of like-minded and being involved in church and outreach? How is all that? You know, oh, I don't really pray much, and you know, I don't really read my Bible much. You know, I go to church every once in a while, but you know, I don't really have to go to church to be saved. You know, and then something really goes wrong. You're like, I don't understand what's going on. Then you hit your knees. Then you start praying when you should already been on your knees from the get-go. And worse, we start blaming God. Why would God do this to me? When we are at fault. And sometimes it's just life. And this curse. All right? We live in a cursed world. We will experience things. We get cancer and we get sick. We can get in car wrecks. We can lose limbs. It's just part of that curse on this world. But we don't need to look at the things of this life and the things that we're going through. We need to keep our eyes firmly planted on the truth. Placing our eyes firmly on Christ. But verse 14. Actually, I skipped. It was 13. It said 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman that is that has done. And the woman said unto the serpent. Now that was 13. I have my numbers wrong here. I skipped a number. But 14. So that was last verse we read was 13. This is 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because I have done this, I have art curse above all the cattle. And this is the curse, right? And above every beast of the field, up on the belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of their life. And this is where I kind of take this and believe that Satan actually uses a animal, the serpent, to do his bidding. And I don't tell you, anything Satan uses, if he's using you right now, he is using you for evil. He is using you, and you will feel the consequences as a serpent felt it. And this is a curse. And then, and then we have this beautiful verse right here in 15. It says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There is a divide of good and evil now. God is good, regardless. Satan is evil, that is definite. And God is pointing to his individual that will come. And we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that who that believe on him shall not perish but have what everlasting life. This is part of this. He said there's a divide here between thee and the woman, Satan, right? And between thy seed and her seed. And he's speaking here that he bruised thy head and I shall bruise his heel. See, Satan will try to pull his old tricks on him. And you can see that in Matthew 4 when he's tempting Jesus Christ. And Matthew 4 gives us a clear outline. And I'm already in an hour, so I won't go deep down in that. But I encourage you to go to Matthew 4 and read that. He gives us how we are supposed to handle Satan through the word of truth, the word of God. That's what Jesus did. You think Jesus needed to do that? No, he was showing us how to handle the enemy, how Adam and Eve should have handled Satan. We handle by the word of God. It is written. It is written. And we believe that in our heart and the Holy Spirit that empowers us, the enemy will flee. I promise you, I use it all the time. It works. But he was trying to pull his old tricks on Jesus. And he will think he's killing the Son of God. But he will only bruise his heel. But guess what? Jesus will crush his head. And we see that at the crucifixion. Satan thought he was winning something. He thought he was doing something. He is just like that hamster on that wheel turning and trying to do everything he can to stop it. I'm telling you, he can't stop Jesus. He can't stop man on fire for God. If they kill us, then we get to go home. And then the next person steps in and they proclaim the gospel. And they kill them, they go home. You can't stop the word of God. We'll keep proclaiming it to the very end. We'll keep preaching to the very end that what is true and what this world calls true is not true. Amen. And we could see that there was a consequence to their sin. But God said, I'm sending my son to start the healing process one day. And of course we know through Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross for us. The blood that was shed for our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. No forgiveness of sins. God's never okay with our sin. And if we choose to live in our sin, there will be consequences to our sin. And here, this historical account gives us the extreme what happens. This beautiful creation that God has created now becomes cursed. And we can read that. He said, "I told him the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception and sorrow that shall bring forth children. And they thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee until your husbands are supposed to be head of the household." If a woman is trying to step in the head, they are conflicting with what God has said in his word. The man is over the household. And unto Adam he said, "Because I have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and the eating of the tree of which I have commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and the sorrow shall thou eat of it in all the days of thy life. And the thorns also the bristles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field and the sweat of thy face. They shall eat bread to thou until return unto this ground, for out which I have taken, for dust thou art, unto dust shalt thou return." And Adam called his, here we see the naming of his wife is Eve now, because she was the mother of all living. And upon Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothing. This is the sign of the first animal sacrifice. Blood had to be spilled for their sin. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us. You are one to know good and evil." And now they know what good and evil. "And now at least you be put for his hand. Take also the tree of life to eat and live forever. We are built to want to live forever. And we will not live forever in our physical bodies." That's part of the curse. Adam and Eve were going to live forever, but no more in their physical bodies. Verse 23 says, "Therefore the Lord God sent them forth from the garden of Eden to till the garden from whence it was taken." And so he drove out the man, and that is the woman too. And he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims, these flaming swords with these flaming swords, and turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And that is what happened when Satan gets involved with your sin. When you start believing Satan's lies, endorsing his truth, which is a perversion, you will feel the consequences of your actions. In closing, this is part three, and this may be the last one on this series. And we looked how Jesus Christ is the truth. And we have looked, and I encourage you guys to go back and listen to the other sermon audios. That is, Jesus is the life, and Jesus is, first one was, Jesus is the way, and Jesus is the life, right? And Jesus is the truth today. And he's still the truth. He will remain truth to the very end. He is absolute truth. If anything you want to take out of this message today, is that Jesus Christ is the absolute truth. And remember that word, moral relativism. You will encounter that. And a lot of times when you're seeing, if you're hearing a preacher talking about, "You have your truth, I have my truth." And when you hear a preacher or evangelist or Bible teacher, whatever, and they're telling you that Jesus is just one of several ways, you need to be careful with that language. Or they tell you there's many ways to get to God. We have to be careful. Just Jesus Christ is the only bridge that we go through to get to God, his Father, our Father. It's the death on the cross, the blood that was spilt. There is no other way to come to God, to recognize who Jesus Christ is, the Son of God, his only begotten Son. The Lamb that take away the sins of the world, the blameless Jesus Christ had no sin. When you're hearing messages that are contradicting these points that are clearly taught in the scripture, you need to quit listening to that preacher. Or if you're physically in their church, if you can have a meeting with the preacher, you need to counter and say, this ain't correct. This is what the word of God says. I'm going to tell you, majority of them are not going to receive you very well on that. And if they don't, just leave. Pray God for guidance to go to another church or wherever it may be. Seek through prayer or fasting and deep Bible reading in the guidance on where God will lead you. He will lead you, I promise you. But you don't need to be sitting under that perversion of truth. Because that perversion of truth is lies that the enemy has injected in that church. And they are now not preaching the gospel, they are preaching the truth of this world, which is lies that the enemy loves to have those around believing. But we look at the cross and we look at the blood. And we look at all the historical events that took place. We read about that. And we have Resurrection Sunday coming up, and that's a time for us collectively to have that, you know, all in our hearts all through the year, of course. But that's the one time here we can collectively get together and just kind of throw that up. But we, of course, we have to have that resurrection all the time in our heart, all through the year, but that's a time when we really, you know, we center on that. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And what does it mean? It means that this physical death that we may experience, provided if we, the rapture, right? That is a biblical thing. But provided the rapture, but if we're not raptured and we don't know if we're going to live tomorrow, if we die, which is a possibility, because God knows when our last step is, we will see Jesus. Right? And at that point, he will know if you are his or not. He will know that you truly have committed your life to him. He sees you when nobody else is looking. He knows every thought that goes through your mind. He knows if your heart is truly aflame for the Word of God and that you're studying, and that is your more desire to do anything in the world is to study His Word, to put Him first in your life, in your life, right? He comes first, you come second, everything attaches to that. He knows that you're denying yourself every day and beating your flesh down. And he knows when you're pretending to be something you're not, and he don't deal with pretenders and people faking it. He doesn't deal with people that their hearts are truly not committed to Christ to walk that path of discipleship. He handles them as anybody. As, you know, not anybody, but he handles them. The way he does is, you're not part of me, depart from me. You're a part of me, come in my presence. Heaven, and we all say heaven or hell, right? There's no in-between resting place. You're his or you're not. You need to get serious. We need to understand when we're looking at those around us, when we're in a church, or we're looking at people in the media like Will Smith and Denzel Washington. We engage sense of their life through the scripture, not our personal opinion. And when we're looking at any church or preachers in that church or Bible study or Bible teachers, I always encourage anything I give through this website. And if I'm saying something that is not correct, and I'm giving something that's not as clear as I should be, I always encourage you guys to reach out to me and talk to me via email. If you want to be part of my Facebook, which is easy to do, all you have to do is send me a message and just say, hey, I heard. You don't even have to be part of the group to send me a message. And you say, here, I have a question. Here it is. And we will pound through stuff. And I may even provide you my phone number so you can call me and we can talk. And we can talk as long as we can about the Word of God. I'm okay with that. I have people that do that. And we'll talk. And guess what? I work a full-time job too. 40 hours a week. And now I'm doing this. So I stay pretty wound up. Not bragging about myself. I'm just saying. I'm concerned about souls. And I'm concerned about whoever's listening to this. They're your soul. And I call you to wake up from what this world portrays as what it means to be a Christian versus what the Bible means, what it truly means to be a Christian, is to live a separate life from this world. When you come to the saving, what we say, the saving knowledge of Christ, as you recognize His birth, His death, right, the crucifixion, you recognize the resurrection, you see all that, you believe that truth, right? It changes your life. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. You're justified. You're being sanctified. That's a process, being more like Jesus, that because you're a disciple now, it's not an option. You are a disciple. There's no separation from a Christian disciple. You are now a disciple, you're a warrior for Christ, and now you have to pick up your cross daily and follow Him and beat your flesh in submission, meaning your life should not look like that person's life over there that claims to not know Jesus, or even that does, but their life is so looking just like this world. You need to call them out on it. You're called to Scripture to do that. Your life don't look like what Scripture says. You need to get into your Word of God. And if your preacher is proclaiming that, to live a life that is conforming to this world, you need to leave that church and find you a different church. Period. It's not negotiable. Or negotiable. But when the Holy Spirit comes in our life, it changes us. Now our desires should be more focused, not on the things that we contain in this life, but the things that we can do for Christ among us. That is in our community. That is in our schools, if you're involved in schools. That is in our families, right? And to be these people that proclaim truth when the world, the real truth, the absolute truth, when the world tells you that is unpopular, that is us standing on the truth. When we hear that homosexuality is okay and we say no, and we don't promote that, and we don't promote that in the church, and we don't promote that in our nation. And when they're telling us abortion is okay and we say no, murder is not okay in any sense, and we stand up on that truth. We stand on the Word of God. We stand on how sacred marriage is. We stand how sacred our children is. We stand on how our foundation needs to be re-sealed back up with the Word of God. And we stand on the truth of the gospel. We need that boldness, but it's missing. And if we don't, the foundation will crumble in America. And we're already witnessing that. So let's be in prayer for America. But we should be a Christians first. True Christians. And Americans second. Even though America may fall from her glory, which I believe is, we're witnessing that right now. And it's a subtle, that's how the devil works, slow increments. But God can turn everything around. He can. I'm not God. Just from my perspective, looking at everything, it does not look very good for America. But for us as Christians, true believers of Christ, we are not citizens of this world, right? Ultimately, our citizenship is in heaven. That is our kingdom. And God will bring His kingdom down one day. And we will truly be in our home. Our final resting place. A place that is beyond what we can imagine. No more pain, no more sorrow. He will wipe the tears from our eyes. And we will live in perfect harmony. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just get into your word. Lord, I pray that you just be with us throughout this week. You guide and direct our life as you need to reach those around us with the gospel. Let our hearts be aflame. Let us cling to your word more than anything. Let our prayer be powerful. Let our prayer life be strong. Let our life be a reflection of a change that has taken place. Not conforming to this world, but being distant from this world in the sense that we are supposed to be separate from it. We're in this world, but we are not supposed to be of this world. And our love should shine to this world, but that love is not a compromising love. That is a love for the true truth of the gospel. We are just foreigners that love you so much and want others to love you with everything they got, full surrender. We pray that our heartbeat is that beat throughout this week. I pray that this message that you've given me reaches whoever it needs to. It rattles them, it shakes them, it do whatever it has to do to them from their slumber. And we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.